Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Hi, I'm Rob West. This verse offers a powerful lesson on financial stewardship. True and lasting wealth isn't built through shortcuts or speculation, but through steady diligence and faithful management. Today, we'll explore how this biblical principle plays out in real life. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, in today's fast-paced world, financial success is often measured by how quickly one can accumulate wealth. Social media is filled with stories of overnight millionaires, high-risk investments, and shortcuts to riches. To illustrate this principle, let's look at the real-life story of an executive at a major Western bank. We'll call him Brian to protect his anonymity. Brian began his finance career in the 1990s, confident in his ability to manage money. However, he now admits that he was living beyond his means and accumulating debt. This financial instability made him especially susceptible to the allure of quick wealth, particularly during the height of the dot-com boom in the early 2000s. Like many others at the time, Brian had not yet embraced the biblical wisdom that chasing quick wealth often leads to financial ruin. When a coworker offered him a chance to get in on the ground floor of a can't-lose tech startup, Brian didn't hesitate. He scraped together $10,000, convinced he was on the fast track to wealth. In his mind, success was inevitable. He was already preparing to celebrate. But before he could, Brian heard the sound of the dot-com bubble bursting. His investment vanished, lost in a new company he knew little about. He had chased quick wealth only to face the painful consequences. His story echoes the warnings of Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. It's important to understand that God doesn't punish people for making bad financial choices. Rather, poor decisions naturally lead to consequences. Proverbs 13:11 teaches that when money is gained too quickly, whether through reckless speculation, gambling, or unethical shortcuts, it often lacks a foundation of wisdom and discipline, making it easy to lose. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 warns, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." If Proverbs 13:11 warns against hasty wealth, it also points us to a better way. Whoever gathers little by little will increase it. This principle isn't flashy, but it's powerful. True financial growth happens gradually through wisdom, patience, and discipline. Rather than seeking quick riches, God calls us to work diligently and earn honestly in Colossians 3:23, save and invest wisely over time in Proverbs 21:20, and be generous and steward money for His purposes in 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. Financial success isn't about speed. It's about faithfulness over time. Or as the late Eugene Peterson put it so well, it's about long obedience in the same direction. Brian's story didn't end with financial ruin. Instead of giving up, he decided to take a biblical money management class through his church. That's when things started to turn around. He learned to be more disciplined with his finances, budgeting, saving, and living within his means. Eventually, he began investing again, but this time, he avoided speculation and focused on something he understood, real estate. He started small, took his time, and remained patient. Because he built his investments wisely, his real estate holdings survived the housing crash and the Great Recession. Over time, he was even able to start a fitness-related business with his son, something he had always dreamed of. That business survived the challenges of COVID and is still thriving today. Brian's financial recovery wasn't instant. It was the result of steady, faithful growth over many years. His story is a testament to the wisdom of Proverbs 13:11. Building wealth little by little often leads to long-term success. Now, if you've experienced financial setbacks, don't lose heart. The key is to keep moving forward. The world promotes shortcuts, but God calls us to faithfulness. If we embrace patience, diligence, and godly stewardship, will not only experience financial security, but also the joy of honoring Him with our resources. So instead of chasing instant success, let's follow God's way, one wise step at a time. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If there was ever a day to stay alert, it's today, April 1st, April Fool's Day. There are some who love this day. Others are hoping nobody plays a joke on them. And it's true, sometimes practical jokes go a little too far. But there's another kind of foolishness that's neither innocent nor fun. Proverbs 1:7 gives us a contrast. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The truly foolish are those who have no regard for God's wisdom. So on this April Fool's Day, let's fear the Lord, read His Word, and receive His life-giving wisdom and instruction. Get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
What is the most important truth that you'll ever hear? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ just screams out, I love you.
Discover the power that is available to you through the cross of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, I'm looking forward to taking your questions today. What's on your mind in your financial life? Call right now. The number is available and ready for you at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Whether you're thinking about your budget today or paying down some debt, maybe it's giving wisely or investing for the future, which seems to be more challenging than ever, at least in the short term. Good thing investing should be long-term in nature. Dow Jones off a little over 1%, off 465 points. S&P a little better, down 0.8%. NASDAQ faring even better. Yesterday was tough for the NASDAQ. Today off a little more than 0.5%. We're preparing for Trump's tariff rollout tomorrow, and obviously a lot of uncertainty in the markets. That's weighing on the markets today. Market doesn't like uncertainty, that's for sure. But listen, as long-term investors, we understand that we're in it for the long haul, and we go through these corrections, especially right now where there's this transition going on economically and as the Trump administration implements some of its policies that were very clear in terms of during the election what President Trump was planning. He was very outspoken about it. But now as we're going through it and the market is adjusting to it, you know, my belief is that these policies in large part are really setting us up for a pro-growth, pro-business economy that will ultimately pay off. But we will have choppiness. We'll have some short-term pain as we make this transition. We're seeing that play out. But obviously, we're in it for the long haul. At least we should be if we're investing for the future. So what is on your mind today? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to tackle your questions, and our team is standing by so you can get through right now. We'll head to those phones here in just a moment. But in the news today, as of mid-March, the IRS had processed just over 70 million 2024 tax returns and issued about 50 million refunds. The average refund is nearly $3,300, up from $3,100 a year ago. If you're expecting a refund, what do you plan to do with it? How about getting it working for you and putting it to good use? Here are some wise and useful things you can do with your tax refund this year. Number one, start an emergency fund if you haven't already, or build it up if you already have one in place. The goal, 3 to 6 months living expenses to protect you in case of a job loss, a medical condition, some other unexpected expense, or even calamity. Second, start saving for your next big purchase, such as an automobile. You know, the one you're driving won't last forever. You want to make as big a cash down payment as possible when you're buying a new car, whether that's brand new or new to you. So open a special account for your next auto purchase, or better yet, start using the FaithFi app and you can create a digital envelope for your car savings. You leave the money right there in checking or savings, but in the app, you can allocate it over to that envelope so you know exactly how much you have saved at any point. Third, pay off consumer debt. Credit cards are charging an average of now 23% interest these days. Reducing that debt will keep more of your money in the bank and get you out of paying those astronomical rates. Next, if you don't have consumer debt, make an extra one-time payment against the principal on your mortgage. That will reap huge rewards and interest savings over time. Finally, open a Roth IRA and deposit your refund check into it. You must have at least as much earned income as the deposit, but that's probably the case if you're receiving a tax refund. When you do that, you can begin to have compound interest working for you instead of against you like with debt. And the beautiful part of the Roth IRA is that's after-tax dollars, but growing tax-free. So when you pull it out in retirement, you never pay tax on the gains. You know, it's always tempting to go on a spending spree when unplanned money like a tax refund shows up, but that excitement is short-lived and the benefits of using it wisely and being a faithful steward of God's resources will last much longer. So hopefully that gives you some ideas. The key is to be intentional. Take a step back. Think about your values and priorities as a Christ follower and then align the use of God's money accordingly. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Lines are open. We're ready for you at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to begin in Virginia today. Hi, Donna. Go right ahead.
Hi. I love your program, and I really benefit from it, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
My first question was about bill pay. I just set up a new account at a brick-and-mortar bank because I've been using a credit union.
Okay.
And I set up a savings and a checking, and the person at the bank told me that I should use my debit card that they would issue me for paying my bill. But I've always been paying on bill pay with my credit card, and I think somehow it's more secure. So what is your advice about using debit card versus credit card when you're doing your monthly bills on bill pay?
Yeah, it's a great question, Donna. And actually, as long as you're paying it off at the end of every month, in the case of the credit card, and you're not carrying a balance, which means you're using it for budgeted items and the money's there, I actually think from the viewpoint of security, it's best to use that credit card, not the debit card, to pay your monthly bills. Because here's why. If it's used fraudulently, you can only be held responsible for $50 if you report it timely. But even bigger than that, is the idea that, you know, the money with the debit card, if it's compromised, gets pulled out of your account. And then you have to wait for that investigation to play out for them to then put the money back in. But in the case of the credit card, it never leaves your account. It's there temporarily noted on the financial account. You dispute it. You never pay it. You're never out the money. The problem with that debit card is it's coming out of your checking account, and until it's put back in, there's often all kinds of other ramifications. You may have, you know, other bill pays that, you know, go out of your checking account. Maybe a check is issued on a periodic basis or on a recurring basis. And now if that money's not there, you risk being overdrawn. So yeah, I'm with you. I think from a security standpoint, the credit card is the better option for you in terms of just overall safety.
Yeah, and I thought that too, but I wondered why this man at a nationwide bank would give me that advice. I mean, yeah. I'm puzzled by it.
Yeah.
I have a son-in-law who's in security, and he wanted me to get out of the credit union because he said, you know, credit unions are not big. It's a local credit union. You need something with a bigger security team behind them. And if I have to help you, I'm across the country. I can do it here because they have branches here. So, you know, go ahead and set up a new account. Well, I thought this was a good bank to work with, and now I'm puzzled by it. So I'm just going to get one of their credit cards. I don't know if that matters. I guess I could use the one I have, except it's under my husband's, the owner of the account. So establishing the credit, all the credit benefit goes to him every time we're using two of the major cards that we use. And yeah. I'm an account manager, but I'm not getting the benefit of paying the bills on time and getting the credit score that he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to get it in my name.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You want that reported on a timely basis to your credit report, and the most recent information impacts you the most. But no, I'm totally with you. I like the protections you've got here. And I think from a fraud protection standpoint, credit cards, there's no doubt they offer the stronger legal protections under the Fair Credit Billing Act. Your liability is no more than $50. There's a clear dispute process. And if you're compromised, again, that thief with the debit card has instant access to real funds. With a credit card, it's just borrowed money. So a big difference there. Great question. Thanks for your call, Donna. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
When you see trash in the media, submit it to 1millionmoms.com. Over the years, 1 million moms and our partners have improved advertising choices of programmers and content seen on TV. Just like you, 1 million moms want to protect little eyes and ears from the trash that could hurt them. So when you see trash in the media, visit 1millionmoms.com. Scroll down and look for the Submit Trash button.
Take it away!
1millionmoms.com.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions. Lines are open, 800-525-7000. I've got three open right now. Go ahead and give us a call. Donna's in Virginia. We were talking to Donna before the break about whether or not to use a credit or a debit card from a safety standpoint in terms of bill pay. But Donna, I know you had a follow-up question. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. I believe it was you who mentioned the backdoor IRA.
Yes, ma'am.
And maybe I missed all the information on it, but I asked my CPA about it, and he told me it was too complicated to explain to me. So I'm calling you and asking you if you can explain, can I use it? We're retired, and we just we have a sizable brokerage account that generates income, and I didn't like the taxes I had to pay this year. They were horrific. So I was wondering if this is a vehicle that will be helpful.
Yeah, it may or may not apply in your situation. Essentially, a backdoor Roth IRA is a way, and by the way, kudos to you for even knowing about that, Donna. It's a way for high-income earners to contribute to a Roth IRA, even if they exceed the income limits for direct contributions. But that, I think, is the first question. If you're married filing jointly, the phase out for a direct Roth IRA contribution doesn't happen until you get to $230,000 in income. Are you above that level?
I'd say we're right at, well, yeah, we probably are with the brokerage account.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, you know, you would want to look at that because if not, this may not be necessary. And so that's really, you know, you need to be above $240,000 for married couples in order for this to, you know, to really apply. But essentially what happens is if you're above that level and you start to experience those phase outs where you're no longer able to make that direct Roth IRA contribution, you first contribute money to a traditional IRA. Now, this is a little bit of a nuance here, but that contribution to the traditional IRA in the case of your income situation would be what's called a non-deductible contribution, meaning you don't get the tax break up front because you're probably over the income limit for that too. And then after the money gets into the traditional non-deductible, then you convert it to a Roth, and then this is a taxable event. Now, but since you didn't deduct the original contribution, you typically only pay taxes on any earnings, if there are any, between the contribution and the conversion, not the full amount. And then the Roth IRA grows tax-free. So it's a bit of a loophole, though it's very legal. It's in the IRS tax code. And unless they change it, it's very, you know, it's available to you. It's an opportunity for you, despite the fact that you normally would not be able to make that direct contribution, by way of the non-deductible traditional IRA and the conversion, you're able to essentially still legally get money into that Roth IRA.
Okay, so yeah, this is a bit convoluted. So I get it when I convert from the IRA to the Roth, it's a taxable event.
However, if you're basically converting just what you contributed to the non-deductible traditional IRA, because it's non-deductible, it's essentially already after-tax dollars, so there would be very little, you know, in order for you to pay, if anything. So what I would do is, do you all normally prepare your own tax return or
no,
do you do it yourself?
I had the CPA and I asked him that question and he just said it was too complicated to explain. So, and I have a financial advisor who's very good and very helpful. Maybe I'll ask him the question, but the CPA didn't seem, I don't know if he's probably busy during tax season, didn't want to bother with, you know, kind of a nuisance question.
Yeah, yeah, so. Got it. Well, yeah, that, I mean, I would go back to him and press the issue, and you're right. Maybe let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's busy or something like that. But, you know, this isn't really complicated. I mean, there are a couple of steps to it, and there's no official IRS-mandated waiting period before you convert that non-deductible traditional IRA to the Roth via the back door. So you could technically do it as soon as the contribution hits your traditional IRA. And, you know, and then you would just basically have the brokerage firm make that conversion. But you're going to want him in the loop and, you know, just tell him, listen, I understand we are over the limits to make the Roth. So we want to make the non-deductible traditional and then we want to convert it. And I just want your buy-in. And maybe the fact that you understand it, know what it is and why you, it applies to you might give him the encouragement to say, all right, they know what they're talking about. I'm going to take the time to walk them through this.
Okay, so none of this needs to be done at a specific time. I mean, obviously you want to do it before you prepare your taxes, but
that's right.
I don't have to do it at any particular time of the year.
That's exactly right.
Okay. All yep. right, well, you did explain it well. I didn't think it was so difficult, but I guess maybe he was just busy. Great.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Donna. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift. I want to send you the most recent copy of our Faithful Steward magazine. I think it'll be a blessing to you and your husband, and we appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go down to Texas. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. Hey, I'll just have a quick question. My husband and I are looking to buy a tractor. We have about 15 acres, and we really could use a tractor to help us manage the property. We have a high-yield savings account, and what I was thinking about is taking the interest that we've earned, just the interest that we've earned on that high-yield savings, to purchase the tractor. And it would be a used tractor, not a brand-new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, I assume the interest is just being credited to the account and it's just building up inside that high yield savings.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, whether or not you kind of specifically tie it to the interest that was paid or you pull it out, I think the bigger question is just what assets do you have at your disposal and is this a wise purchase? It sounds like, you know, you all have thought through this. You know, you're in need of a tractor. You have the 15 acres. I think the question is just, you know, are you going to deplete too much of this such that it would push you down below, you know, what we would typically recommend of 3 to 6 months of income. Expenses, 3 to 6 months expenses. But as long as you've got plenty of liquidity, I think whether or not it's tied directly to what you've been paid in interest or you come a little bit out of what was originally there as savings, I think that's a great place to pull it. Sounds like you could put it to use. So I'm on board with this. I think it's a great idea, Kathy. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Is it possible to love your spouse every moment of every day? On the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, marriage coaches Trey and Lee Morgan share practical insights about the ups and downs of life together after 40 years. We'll explore how treating your spouse better than they deserve will strengthen your marriage for the long haul. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, our heart, our entire team here at FaithFi is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure, that nothing of this world, the things of this world would not rival God for your heart, that your devotion would be to Him, and that you'd have an eternal perspective. And each day on this program, we want to be an encouragement to you to that end, to help you mind the scriptures, to understand the heart of God as you take on and carry this high calling that we all enjoy of being a money manager for the King of Kings. And hopefully each day we can give you some wisdom from the counsel of scripture and some hope and encouragement as you live out that role as a faithful steward. By the way, if you want to support the work we do here each day, we'd invite you to become a FaithFi partner. And it's not only so we can reach more people, but FaithFi partners enjoy some incredible resources that our team puts together every year just to encourage you in that stewardship as a faithful steward. And one of the new resources we have is our brand new magazine. It's called Faithful Steward. It comes out 4 times a year with some incredible articles that I think will just really be an encouragement to you on your journey. Also, our studies and devotionals, and our newest study is due out in the month of May. It's called Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from the Book of Ecclesiastes. But those are the kinds of resources that FaithFi partners have mailed to them throughout the year. And if you'd like to learn more, just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Give. That's faithfi.com. Click Give at the top of the page. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got several lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. To Mississippi, hi, Diane. Go right ahead.
Hi. My son is 26, and last year he was able to start a 401k with his job, and I want to get him a Roth IRA and just start with 200 just to get something going. Is that a good idea?
You know, it really is. I love the Roth IRA. I think that's a great opportunity. Does he have earned income right now? I think you said he just started a job. Is that right?
Yeah. He makes $26,000 gross pay.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
He lives at home.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I think, you know, that would be excellent. You know, the Roth IRA, you know, is individual. So it will be in his name with his social security number, and he has to have the earned income, which he does. And you'll have to have his social security number and that proof of income, you know, when opening the account with a brokerage firm like Fidelity or Schwab. But I think it's a great way to start saving for the future. You know, you put in the after-tax dollars, you get that invested, and then it'll grow tax-free. And, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, he'll have quite a nest egg there that we'll be able to pull out completely tax-free. In terms of the investment opportunities, you've got a couple of approaches. I mean, with that amount of money, and there's no problem with opening an account with $200, many of the firms that I mentioned, like Fidelity or Schwab, basically have no minimums, maybe $100. But you will need to decide where to invest it. So a couple of options. Option one would be you'd maybe pick a high quality faith-based investing mutual fund to drop that money into. Another approach would be something called a robo-advisor, which essentially uses the market indexes to capture the broad moves of the market, and it's very low cost. And anytime you add something to it, if you wanted to, you know, monthly or one time a year, it would automatically be reinvested in a way that's appropriate for his age and risk tolerance. And again, it's very inexpensive. And so if you wanted to look at something like that, you could use the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. I think that's a great option if you just put that into your internet search engine, Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Another option would be one called Betterment. Betterment. Either of those, I think, would allow you to open that Roth for him and make that contribution and then get that money working.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome, Diane. Thanks for your call today. To Texas. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. I have sold yesterday a house that was only $75,000 because it was just a little bitty house on my property. Needed some work, but I need a new car and pay off some debts. And all of a sudden, I realized there's probably a gain tax on it. And that was kind of put a wrench on my paying off some of my debts. And if there is a such tax, do you know what's the percentage on it?
Yeah, it's a great question. Now, did you say, so this was a second home, but on your property, right? But you didn't live in this.
Correct.
Okay. And what is your filing status, Christina? How do you file? Do you file single or married?
Married. And married. I'm 71 years old. So
okay. Yeah, very good. So married filing jointly, if this is an investment property or a second home, one that you don't live in as your primary residence, you're going to need to look at the capital gains tax rates. And basically, you've got to get above $96,000 for you to have any capital gains tax. And that first threshold is where you have, combined income of $96,000 up to $600,000. Now, the combined income that is used to determine whether you're, threshold you're in, not only includes your income, but you have to add the capital gain as well. So how much did you make in profit on this property that you sold?
It's hard to tell because the property that I bought, the whole thing, was $250,000. And so now we sold this house, so I don't know if the whole $75,000 would be a capital gain.
No, you paid $250,000, and then that included this second home that you sold?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so you're going to have to determine how much of that original purchase was allocated to this property, and then you'll have to, you'll be able to compare the $75,000 you sold it for to the original cost basis for the portion of the property that was a part of that original purchase. So let's say out of the $250,000, I'm just making up a number here, $35,000 of the $250,000 was for this second home, and then you sold it for $75,000, well, your gain would be $40,000 on that portion. Now, the gain, whatever it is, when added to your other income, would have to get above $96,701 for you to have any capital gains tax. But if it did, then you'd have to pay 15% of the gain, not the whole sale, just the gain. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. Okay. You just made my day.
So here's what I would do. I would connect with a certified public accountant, Christina, because you want to get this right, and you're going to need to have somebody kind of walk you through the methodology of how you calculate what the gain was in order to determine whether or not you have to report it as a capital gain. And so get with a CPA. Even if you don't normally do that, this would be the year to do it, and you can make sure that you do that correctly. But at the most, it would be 15% of whatever the gain is for that particular portion of the property that you sold.
Okay. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Joyce. How can we help?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Whichever time it is for you.
You know what? You're welcome, but I apologize. I wasn't looking at the clock correctly. So let's do this, Joyce. I'm going to take a quick break, and you'll be first up when we get to the other side of that break. So you stay right there, and I'll look forward to hearing your question. Folks, we do have room for perhaps one or two more questions before we round out the broadcast today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't. And then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR. Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me in the studio in a few minutes is Taylor Stanrich. Taylor's our production manager here at FaithFi. He's responsible for the daily syndicated broadcast. We'll have an opportunity to chat with him in a few moments. We're taking your calls and questions, though, and Joyce has been waiting patiently in Alabama. Joyce, go ahead with that question. How can I help?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just purchased a new SUV about a week or two ago, and I was informed there is an option to do the biweekly payments. I had never heard of that before in regards to vehicles. I knew about it as it related to houses, but not on vehicles. So my question is, would it be to my advantage to do the biweekly option rather than the once-per-month option as far as paying on the principal or knocking the interest out? So that's my question.
It absolutely would. So if you have that option, and a lot of times you can do it yourself, but if they're making it available to you, it'll actually make it a little simpler because they're ready for it and they'll apply it appropriately. But basically, it reduces the interest costs and shortens the loan, and here's why. Instead of one monthly payment, let's take a $400 a month car payment, you pay half of that amount every 2 weeks, so $200 every 14 days. And since there's 52 weeks in a year, you're going to make 26 half payments, which equals 13 full payments instead of the usual 12 when you're paying monthly. And so that extra 13th payment is going to allow you to pay that straight to principal and thereby reduce the balance faster. Less principal means less interest accrues over time. So, you know, on a $20,000 5-year loan at, let's say, 6%, a pretty typical rate right now, you know, switching to biweekly could save you, you know, hundreds of dollars at a minimum and shave, you know, a good number of months off the loan. you know, which is a good thing because you'll pay it off quicker. I mean, even if you paid it off in 4.5 years instead of five, you know, that's a benefit. Now, not all lenders will allow those biweekly payments automatically. So if yours does, I think take full advantage of it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for your call today, Joyce. We appreciate it. Back to Texas. Spent a lot of time in Texas today. Charles, go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. My mother passed away in October of last year, and we are going to, my sister and I both inherited it, and we're going to sell it probably next month. My question is, in Texas, there's no inheritance tax, but what is the, is there inheritance tax in federally?
Yeah, there's no federal inheritance tax either. So there's nothing to worry about there. Essentially, you know, what you're talking about is potentially a capital gain. Now, the benefit of inheriting a home is you get what's called a step up in basis. So the taxes, the home's tax basis steps up to its fair market value as of the date of your mom's death. So if she bought it for $100,000, it's worth $300,000 when she passes. Your basis is now $300,000. And if you sell it soon after, you'd owe zero in capital gains because there's no profit. If it appreciated, let's say you held it for a year and it you sold it for $350,000, well, then you'd have a $50,000 gain, and you would have to report that. But essentially, you get the benefit of that step up, and if it's sold shortly after and you can justify that you're basically selling it for the market value as of the date of her death, then there is no capital gain and there is no you know, federal inheritance tax that you would pay directly as an heir. Any taxes, which most people at this point don't pay them because it has to be a home or, excuse me, an estate that exceeds $13 million. Most estates don't pay a state tax and there's no inheritance tax.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call to Alabama. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Thank you. I have a question. My husband and I started generating income a little bit later than most of our peers. He did a PhD and I've been at home with the kids. And so once he landed his first job, he was 35.
Yeah.
So we have a small savings account, but we don't have, and he has a 401k and things like that. But I feel like we need to be maximizing investments and we're just not sure like where to start because we've just really got our first home and we, you know, some of those things are, starting to come together, but we don't know where to go next.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And listen, a lot of people are resonating with what you're saying. So don't feel bad about that. I think the key is that you're acknowledging, listen, we're starting a little later than we would have liked to, although we did the things we felt like the Lord was leading us to do. And we had some schooling and you know, have spent time investing in your family. Those are all great things. And you've still got plenty of time if you're, you know, willing to live modestly and you know, below your means to create margin so that you can take advantage of these really key years for compounded growth. What types of retirement accounts are available to him at work now? Does he have one?
Is that like a 401k?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I think that's what he has. He has a 401k.
Okay.
But I don't know. I know his company is matching what he puts in.
Yeah. Okay.
But
good.
I don't know beyond that.
Yeah. So I think the key would be for you guys to max that out if you can. You absolutely want to take advantage of the matching at a minimum. I think the goal is probably 10 to 15% of his pay for you all to be putting in there as the employee contribution, and then they'll match on top of that up to the limits. Remember, you can put in for 2025, you know, as much as $23,500 for this year. So you can put in quite a bit. And then you guys would each be able to have Roth IRAs beyond that. So you know, for 2025, you could put in $7,000 into a Roth IRA. And even as a stay-at-home mom, as a spouse, you can have a Roth as well. So, I mean, that would allow you to put in $14,000 between the two Roths. And then, you know, that's on top of the $23,500 that he can put into the 401k. And then that's not even counting the employer match. So that's $37,500 plus the employer match. Now, you may say, Rob, we don't have the ability to do that. And that's fine. You know, we've got to just kind of work with what we have. And you have other priorities like, you know, giving and being able to, you know, accomplish other goals. But the good news is you've got plenty of contribution limit that you can take advantage of as you're able. And so I would say, you know, a good option would be probably to start with maxing out the match at the employer's 401k. And then I might pivot over to two Roth IRAs between the two of you, that $14,000 between the two. And then if you have the ability to do more than the match plus the $14,000 and the Roths, then maybe come back to the 401k and continue contributing more.
Okay. And what about children's accounts? I think their college is pretty much covered from I mean, my husband's a professor, so we're just planning for them to go to college, you know, where he is teaching. So we're not really focusing so much on, like, an education savings plan. We, you know, Lord willing, he still has that position. We're kind of banking on that, I guess. Would you say, okay, then go ahead and open up a Roth IRA in their name, something to set aside for them for just to grow? Like, is it silly to take just a small amount of money and put it in a Roth IRA for your kids just in case? Or do you need to have like a substantial amount of money?
Yeah.
Because I'd say our income is pretty moderate. We're right at around 100K a year.
Okay.
So it's not like we have a ton of extra to be putting in several accounts.
Yeah, it's a great question, Megan. I probably would not. I mean, first of all, in order to have Roth IRAs for them, they'd have to have earned income. And I suspect they're still young, right?
Right. Yes, they are very young.
Yeah. Yeah. So they couldn't even have Roth IRAs. And because college is likely covered, I think just given what you're saying about a modest income and playing a little bit of catch up, which again, you're not in bad shape. You just need to get started.
Right.
I would prioritize your long-term retirement savings before saving for the kids. There's other ways to cover the cost of college, even if it's not fully covered through your husband's employment, but there's not other ways to pay for retirement. So I would really prioritize your long-term savings and giving and other goals before the kids at this point.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Hey, I want to send you a book. It's Ron Blue's classic, Master Your Money. I think it'll be an encouragement to you and your husband as you just kind of understand some of the fundamentals of biblical money management. So stay on the line, Megan. We'll get your information and we'll put Master Your Money in the mail to you. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, hey, before we finish up today, an unexpected treat. Our production manager here at FaithFi, Taylor Standrich, is in the office today. He normally works remotely out of Texas, where there's all kinds of allergies these days, I understand.
Apparently,
but,
yeah.
But he's here today. Taylor, I'm so glad you're in the studio. Good morning.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Hey, we've got, as you know, just a minute left, but you're a radio guy, so that's no sweat for you. You mentioned a gift that your wife gave you of some widow's mites, and I'd love for you to finish today by just telling us quickly about that, and then just maybe one takeaway for our audience.
Yeah, I would just say, as we look at the story in Mark 12 and Luke 21, I look at this small coin, and I just think, wow, this coin represents something that can really rival God. And if you know what a widow's mite looks like, it's like a third the size of a penny. And we see that this story, the most prominent example of generosity, is this woman giving two copper coins out of and into the temple treasury. It tells us that Jesus cares more about the heart than the size of the gift. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's listening today that whatever you can give, the impact that your gift has is not up to you. It's up to God.
Wow, that is a powerful idea and a great way to finish our broadcast today. What a reminder that it's not about the amount, It's about the heart. He's always been about our hearts, and he always will be. And our financial stewardship is one of the key ways he shapes our spiritual journey. Lean into that, folks. Don't miss it. Taylor, thanks for your thoughts.
Absolutely.
All right. That's Taylor Stanrich. And along with everybody here at FaithFi, including Devin Patrick and Sandy Dickinson and Jim Henry, we want to say a big thanks to those folks. Thanks for being along with us today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Come back and tune in tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Until then, God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.